Hello? Okay, great, amazing. Last time we were discussing the question of, kinyan chalipin and the relationship of kinyan chalipin, right, to kinyan kesef, so that we could evaluate it legabe kiddushei chalipin, right? Can we have kiddushei chalipin? Right, that was our question. Right, the Gemara said no. The question was, all right, well, why not? What's wrong with it? So one option was there's actually something wrong with it, right? It messes with what we're trying to accomplish with Kiddushin, which was very telling. Then the other approach is the Tosfos on the Ramban just said, oh, Chalipin is not Kesef. And if it's not Kesef, then it just doesn't work. So we were trying to figure out, okay, if it's not Kesef, well, what is it, right? One thing we saw was potentially that it's really barter. It's based on the concept of bartering, one object with another. And that was really its chisaron. The other option is that, no, it's dafka kiddushei da, it's das. It's all about, creating gemiras das in the two parties. And then our problem was, well, if it's just gemiras das, then why is it that doesn't work for kiddushin? And then we discussed, a number of different shittos about that, right? And the most, I'd say, the most telling of them was the Rambam, right? That Gemiras Das is good enough for let's say for Kinyanim, because we're really just trying to do is just commit to moving something around, while Kiddushin you're really trying to create something, and particularly we were suggesting that the Rambam thinks that you're creating a relationship. Right, it's Hana Dematgal Yada, right? So the fact that he is, giving her Hana is an important, first step in creating some sort of Kirov Hadas between them. Okay. Now what we're gonna do is sort of try to figure out what's going on by Kinyan Kesef, right? By this, trying to figure out what's wrong with Chalipin, and what is Chalipin as distinct from Kesef. We sort of need to go back and say, well, wait a second, what is Kesef? What is Kinyan Kesef? And why is it sort of either the paradigm or at the very least the comparison case that led us to knowing Kiddushei Kesef, right? Depending on whether or not you think that we learn it out actually from Kinyan Kesef, or like the Ramban, like, oh yeah, like we happen to know that this means that from there. But at the end of the day, right, there's still some measure of parallel between the two. So what's going on by Kiddushei Kesef? Okay, that's our question for today. And then obviously, the application is, what does that tell us about Kiddushei Kesef? Why are there Kiddushei Kesef? So the first question, we're gonna kind of do like in a very broad strokes, like a lot of like Kinyan Kesef. We're not gonna go into it all the way in terms of like all of the sigios. Maybe if we end up doing like the sigyos of Kinyanim, we'll do more. But I'm just gonna try to like cover the basics. So
Is it like the broadest category that basically you can exchange things for other things, and Kesef is a way to exchange things for other things?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Right. So the one option is, flip it. We were talking about like, oh, is Chalipin barter or Kesef? You could say, well, because Kesef, or is Kesef just like a more abstract form of barter, right? I definitely a way to look at it. Just so before we're getting to that, I just want to say, I was like, oh, like, how do Kinyanim work? What's the point? What are you trying to accomplish? So if you look at the way the Rambam formulates his introduction to Kinyanim, and what's the Rambam say? The Rambam says, oh, Hamekach eino nikne bedvar. Right, he starts off Hilchos Kinyanim by saying that, Hamekach eino nikne bedvarim. You can't sell something just by saying it, right? Aval im nikne hamekach be'echad mehadvarim shehu nikne bahem kana halokeach. But if you do the amaisa kinyan, then he's kone ve'inon tzrichin le'idim klal ve'in echad mehem yachol lachzerba. Okay, so the Rambam, and you know, just wants to tell you right off the bat what, you know, like that kinyanim are based, that kinyanim are the maisa kinyan is key to the whole concept of kinyanim, right? This is the first thing he wants to tell you in Hilchos Mechira, that you might have thought, right, that what really matters at the end of the day is Gemiras Das. So all you need to do is get them to agree to it, right? And if they have Eidim there, like Eidei Kiya, maybe that'll be good enough, right? Remember, the Ravid said, oh, you need Eidei Kiya for Chalipin, because Chalipin is a Kinyan Das. Right? So I'm saying, don't think that, you know, Eidei Kiya will create a Kinyan. Right? What makes a Kinyan is the Maisa Kinyan. Okay?
So really, or Adam don't create Gemiras Das by Kinyan.
What do you say?
Or Adam don't create Gemiras Das by Kinyan.
So, I mean, the first Halacha Aleph, I don't think that's correct. Because, right, the Rambam, you know, the Rambam thinks he's giving you the ultimate case of, like, Gemiras Das. Right, he's gonna say, "Oh, as if it's only dvarim, even if like you did all of this, you know, and you had all the gemiras das in the world, at the end of the day, you know, hamekach ino nikne bedvarim." You're right. The problem is like a little bit that the Rambam says like chalipin is a kinyan das, right? And I think they have the sort of kasav ashlishi sheachriya beinehem. Is that the Rambam thinks that even a Kinyan Das, which works really because of the Das, not because of the Maisa, still needs a Maisa by definition. Because Kinyanim need a Maisa. Right? Hamekach eino nikne bedvarim. You need to be nikne hamekach be'echad mehadvarim shu nikne bahem. Right? You need to do one of the Kinyanim that are kone for the Mekach to be kone. Okay? So which is the Rambam's, you know, definition of how a Kinyan is going to work is that you need the Maisa Kinyan. The Maisa Kinyan is key. Right? That's what really makes it work. Okay? Even a Kinyan Das, like Chalipin, still needs the Maisa Kinyan. It's still dependent on the Maisa Kinyan. Okay? Why am I telling you this? Right? Why am I emphasizing that so much? Right? Because, you know, that's not necessarily universal. I was giving the example of the Chazon Ish. There are other Shitas, just the Chazon Ish says it explicitly, and the Rambam says it explicitly. Chal gadol yeh lecha b'kinyanim, says the Chazon Ish. The ikar ha-kinyan hu sheyigmar b'libo lehaknos ha-davar lechaveiro. The chaveiro yismoch daito alav. V'yish devarim shekim lehu lechazal shebedibur ba'alma gomer b'libo lehaknos lechaveiro. V'yish she'ino gomer b'libo rak al diyad han... Al Yad, Hakinyanim, Hamifurashim Minatora, O Mechaza. Vidokate Vize, Vahafokhba de Kulava. Okay? So he says, what's the Chazon Ish is what? A little bit like what Zach was saying, right? I think Zach was Mechavim Til Chazon Ish. I'm going to disagree about the Rambam, but you know, Zach's right about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, yeah. You know, in general, we say, like, we don't know that you have Gemiras Das, you know, unless we really know, and that generally requires us to have you do some sort of maisa that expresses your commitment and your Gemiras Das, right? But at the end of the day, what really matters is Gemiras Das. Yigmar b'libo l'haknos ha'dav or l'chavero, v'chavero yismoch da'ito alav, that's what really creates the transfer of ownership. Elama, yish dvarim, l'rechakim lu l'chazal, shubidibra v'alma gomer, there are things which Chazal say, yeah, like, you know, just by saying it, he means he's makneh, and other things we don't. So in general, you actually need a Maisa. Okay? There's another marker. I didn't bring it, but he says, you know, why? Okay, well, why? Let's say he really, really was Gomer Belibo. Right? Let's say, like the Rambam's case, he got the Eidim, he did the whole shebang, right? And, you know, and he really meant it. Why isn't he Kone? So he says, oh, you know, Dvarim Shebeliv, Einam Dvarim. In general, in Halacha, right, if someone has intent, but there's no, you know, explicit expression of that intent, you know, the dvarim shebelev are lav dvarim. If you do something one, you know, and you mean it one way, or you mean it the other way, but in terms of outwardly, there's no way to know. So that doesn't cut it in terms of being like halachically relevant, generally speaking. All right. So he says, oh, if you were makne with belev shalem in a case where, you know, we don't assume that you could be makne, that you're being makne belev shalem without a ma'aseh kinyan, so just dvarim shebelev, so just dvarim shebelev and dvarim, which I thought was like a clever way to deal with that. Okay, so just off the bat, you know, it's really more of a chakira than a machlok, you know, it's not a ram and a chazanesh, right? But it's, you have these two options of seeing the ikar of kinyan. Is it primarily about the das, or is it primarily about the maisa kinyan? Right? Halacha, as a, you know, as a legal system, acknowledges certain acts of acquisition. Acquisition is a legal concept. Right, so those acts of acquisition create ownership, and anything beyond that wouldn't, because why should it? Right, why should, you know, in the legal system, should we acknowledge things that are not in keeping with the law? Right, or right, you could say no. Right, either that really what matters is people agreeing, or even more extreme is, you know, ownership is really about the relation of this object to you as a member of society, right? In which case, social norms are perhaps the most powerful and the most critical component. Halacha is going to regulate, right, that ownership and when it transfers and how it transfers and when you're allowed to have ownership of certain things. But at the end of the day, what really matters is, you know, is the gemir sas, is the consent of the parties in the social fabric, right? So I think that could reflect also just one of the big questions of kinyanim and ownership is how much is it reflecting, you know, what's going on, and how much is it about the formal, you know, halachic actions, or something in between where, you know, there's like a combination of like, well, ownership is, you know, let's say halachic, but how you transfer it and what it means to be an owner is dependent on gemir stas. Okay. Fine. Yushalmi, I think, is, you know, just a very interesting makar. We're going to read the Yushalmi together. And does someone want to read the Yushalmi for us? Okay, I'm going to point. Yair, you want to lead us through the Yushalmi?
Yushalmi says, "Birishana hayu konim b'shlifat minal." Originally, they would acquire by taking off their shoe. That's what the pasuk says. That originally in Israel, for geulas and for tmuras, a person would take off his shoe. Nishalaf, so who would take off their shoe? Man Amrin, we have two people who talk about this. Rav Levi, Chadamar Hakone, Chadamar Hamakne. This is the same as what we had in the Bavli, except phrased more concisely. Rav says the buyer would take off his shoe, and Levi would say the seller would take off his shoe. The Atyan, Eilin Plug Vata, Kinun Plug Vata, Emachokit is like the same one that we have here. Ditni Boaz, Natanla Goel, Rabbi Huno Mer Hagoel, Natanla Boaz. That the Brita says, Tanakama says that Boaz gave his shoe to the Redeemer, and Rabbi Huda says, no, the Redeemer gave his shoe to Boaz. Chazru Liot Konim Big Tzatza, then later on they would sell things with a ketzatza. Amahu bi ketzatza, what does that mean? B'sha'ash haya adam ocher sadeh achuzatel, when a person would sell his zeshko field, hayu krovav mebi'in chaviyot memalin otan klayot ve'egozim v'shovrin. Memalin otan klayot ve'egozim, that original, that they would, the relatives would bring barrels filled with nuts and break them before the little kids, v'atinokot melaktin, and the kids would pick up these nuts, and they would say, this person has been cut off from his field. And when they would return the field, when he would get the field back, they would do the same barrel thing again. Pony has got his ancestral field back. Rabbi Yossi says the name of Rabbi Bone. Same procedure was done if a person was marrying a woman who was not right for her, for him, I guess according to the relatives, the relatives would bring out the barrels, and they would do the barrel smashing ceremony, and the kids would pick up the nuts and say, this person's been cut off from his family. A kind of hilarious way to do a really serious thing. And then when the divorce would happen, because I guess that was expected, they would do the same thing again. You're welcome back into the family. And then normal times hit, and they started buying things with money, shtar, and chazaka. Because we know from the pasuk, set up because of yiknu, we get fields. You can acquire fields with money. And sign it in a book. And then that's another eide chazaka work. Is referring to eide shtar. Now we already know that shtar works, so this must be talking about eide chazaka.
Very good. So what, just like what, you know, what hits you when you read this Yerushalmi? And it's real, a lot of different things. Like, I'm open to a lot of different things. So I feel like there's a lot you can say about this Yerushalmi.
Me and my chavruta were reading it. We really liked the passive aggressive party that they had. And that was just a genius idea. We really don't agree with what you're doing. Yeah.
But also, this is so different than anything the part before and the part after. Since when is the family getting upset in Lasakinyan?
Exactly. Okay, great. Right? So both of those are two, I think, also like slightly different points, actually. Also, I'm just going to separate. So
affirming that the marriage happened, even though they're unhappy with it.
But it's also just like, one is, since when are you kona a field by taking a barrel and smashing it and like, you know what I'm saying? On Simchas Torah, they threw candies, right? And my son was like really excited that, like, you know, like on Simchas Torah, like we like danced in the streets and like they threw candies and like we like picked up the candies from the streets and like that was, you know, it really stuck in his head. But you know, every once in a while he's like, huh, like on Simchas Torah, like we're allowed to like run around in the street and like they threw candies. That was like very interesting. That was very fun. I really enjoyed that. You know, so like it really sticks in their heads. So it's a good technique for remembering things, but that's not a Maisa Kinyan, right? How is that a Kinyan? That might be a great trick for remembering things. But the Yerushalmi is saying that that's Konen. That's number one, right? Number two is, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, here's this weird Maisa Kinyan for being Kona Sadeh, right? The whole, you know, passive aggressive, you know, exiling the guy from his family by Ishus, like my cashin, right? We're talking about being Kona field. Yerushalmi's saying, okay, you know, there's Kinyan Ktatza, but like, what's the shaychus between the, you know, the Kinyan of the field and the passive aggressive kicking the guy out of his family thing? Also, one's kicking the guy out and one's, you know, like, it's just very, that's strange to me. I mean, that's legit. What else?
And then how did they get from the passive aggressive party to what we know today, like Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka? Just seems like, I don't know where the in-between was between the shoe party.
Think about it. We still sort of do Kinyan Sasa today, or we have we break something at weddings, and it's not just the glass, it's what's it called for Tanaim. You break the plate. There's some sort of part of this Gemara still existing in how you perform weddings.
That's a good point.
Building on what Rachel is saying, I think it's like very much proof that, like, at least according to the Yerushalmi, like, Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka isn't some Doraita thing. It's like this custom that came to be stages down the road.
Exactly. Elaborate. That's perfect, right?
Sorry, you said elaborate?
Yeah, I was saying, you know, I thought you were just about semi. I just said, you know.
Oh, because they're giving him a core from a pasuk. So, like, originally might have thought, like, oh, there's like this idea of Kinyan Doraita. But if we're giving this history lesson where there was phase one of Kinyan and then phase two of Kinyan and then phase three, and only by phase three we get to these methods, they can't really have been around the whole time.
Right. I mean, right. The history of this point, I think, is great. Also, right, as Yara pointed out, he's like, oh, and then it's like, and then we get to like the normal Kinyan. Right. So both the contrast between Mano and Ktsatsa, right, are very different. Also from each other, but definitely from our normal Kinyanim, right, in terms of their structure, you know, and then just like the shift from like these things to Kesesh Dan Chazaka. And Tila's saying, well, wait a second, even just before we even, without talking about the legalities of them, right, Yerushalmi, you know, if we want to paraphrase, is, you know, giving us a history lesson. Once upon a time, they used to be Kone B'Shlifa Sana. And then they started doing Tzatza. Right? And then they started doing, you know, the things that we think are normal, right? It's a fascinating, just that the approach of giving a history lesson, right, in and of itself just shows that what? That we're not trying to figure out, like, oh, what is the objective midoraisa, like, standard of how you're supposed to be kone, right? Because they didn't used to do it. They used to do these other things. And now we don't do those things. Now we do other things, right? On the other hand, Tila's pointing out that, right, at the end it brings psukim. In the beginning it kind of brings psukim. And again, also an interesting point is psukim are from Yirmiyah and from Ruth, not from the Torah. So, like, you know, again, that's an interesting question. How much does that mean that they're, like, they're not, like, necessarily authoritative in that they are mechayev, they create the chiyuv or the mitzvah. They more like prove the fact, right? Divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan. We don't learn out halachos from Navi in the sense that you can't have Navi be the authority that is mechayev you to these halachos. What you could do is use Navi as proof that, you know, like, this clearly must be what works, or clearly this must be how things are done because they're doing it in Navi, right? So far, what do we have? We have the history lesson implies that these are historical developments, not Minatorah, right? Number one. Number two is just the range of actions going on is very interesting, right? Just the contrast also between, you know, Kesef Shtar Chazaka. Also, those are three things, not one thing, right? Until then, if you have one, two, three, and then one, two, and then, like, well, here are three options. It's also interesting. Right, and suddenly at the end, it's important to, like, give psukim. Well, at the beginning, it's just sort of like, oh, history lesson. Oh, and then they started doing these normal kinyanim, and here are psukim. It's also just an interesting contrast. Yeah, Zach.
Maybe we could say that all kinyanim are representative in a way, like, in a sense that all kinyan, you have to represent, you have to ring a bell in a way to show that this property or whatever has changed place. And so that specific action isn't necessarily so important. So in terms of the, maybe the justification is we need to find that it has some sort of background in Tanakh, but the specific action perhaps doesn't matter as much.
Okay. But who's the target of this representation? What are we trying to do? Very good. I mean, it's definitely right. Definitely sounds like the specific action is really much less.
I feel like this is sort of like halfway between the Rambam and the Chazon Ish in a way that it's, you have to do a Maisa Kinyan, but I think you're doing it for social norm reasons.
Okay. And who's the target? So one thing is, right, the idea that social norms are
society,
really defining factors.
I think it's everyone. It's to show, like, the community that this has occurred.
Okay, exactly, right? If you look at the Rambam and the Chazon Ish are still talking about who, they're talking about the, you know, relevant parties to the Kinyan, right? The Kone, the Makne, they're the ones who are doing stuff, right? And the question is, do they have to do the Maisa Kinyan? Is that the key? Or is the Gemir Stas the key? Right. Zach's pointing out that, you know, at least in the Yerushalmi, maybe the real target of the Kinyan is society, right? If ownership and ownership rights are in part, you know, social constructs, right? They're rights vis-a-vis the rest of society. Maybe what really defines it is whether or not, you know, whether or not you have, you know, a you've told society that you've transferred ownership. Tila, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I think like Zach's answer might be a potential solution, but something that does bother me looking at this is how Kinemksatsa does not involve the Kone or the Makne, which is very different from the Shlipatnal or, you know, the Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka, even if they have their different forms. And so like to trace that line of progression doesn't really make sense to me. Like, I don't get how you get from this like Kone Makne action to this like total public display and then to these psukim. And I was trying to figure that out. And that's why I wasn't really sure if it was a history lesson, because they didn't really seem to have anything to do with each other.
Okay. You're saying they seem like there are three sort of distinct, it seems like it's one hand it's a history lesson, on the other hand, there are three distinct kinyan, right? One is, you know,
the fact that I don't know how Katsatsa works if there's no action on the part of the Kone and the Makne. That's the part that's sticking out to me.
Okay, good. Right? I think it's a very good question. Katsatsa is weird. Katsatsa is like, what's going on? Right? Everything else we can sort of just say, okay, you know, there's a Maisa, there's a Kinyas Kinyan, there's, but it's even, yeah, just sharpen it. For the Rambam, right, we would expect more. Cut straight to the end, which is what Bavli does, right? Bavli doesn't have these other things. Bavli goes straight to the end, says, oh, Kesef Shtar, you know, Chazaka, that's how you're Kone Asade, right? Yerushalmi gives us the history lesson. So for the Rambam, the Rambam's up with the Bavli, he says, oh, you know what? These are the formal Maisa Kinyan that work, and Kinyan needs Maisa, right? Yerushalmi gives us the history lesson. So Tila says, okay, well, you know, there still needs to be Kinyan, right? So at the very least, if the Kone and Makne are involved, like in, let's say, Chalipin, right? Shlifas Hanal. So I can say that, let's say it's Gemiras Das. Let's say it's a Maisa, I can say that's a Maisa. Let's say it's Gemiras Das. Then it's even easier, right? Say, okay, this is the Maisa that triggers the Gemiras Das. Right? The Gemiras Das needs to be associated with an action, right? A clear moment where ownership is transferred and A is transferring to B. And that's happening when, you know, they swap the shoe. So according to the Chazanish's criteria of Gemiras Das, we're good to go. But how can you say, but the Ktsatsa is, you know, the Maisa Gemiras Das of A transferring to B, when A and B, right, are passive parties. Right? They're not doing anything. They're just watching other people break these barrels. Okay, how could you answer that?
Well, also, I just realized Ktsatsa has very specific cases involved. Like, I don't, maybe, all of Kenyan works like this, and they say it's Kone Miktsatsa, but they're specifically talking about giving up their Ahuza or an improper marriage. So how much can we learn from that?
Okay, amazing, awesome. Very good. Right, the two cases, and the cases here in general, like Kenyan Karka, Ktsatsa is even more specific. Ktsatsa is not just Kenyan Karka, but Kenyan Stay Ahuza, right, which we know, you know, is very, very, very touchy subject in the Gemara, in, you know, definitely people of that time. They in the Gemara, you know, it's very clear that losing your Seahuza was a very big deal, and getting it back was a very big deal. And you were supposed to get, you know, your relatives are supposed to try to buy it to prevent it from leaving the family, because, you know, your Seahuza is supposed to stay in the family. And in the Nachlin. So it's very special. It's very important. Like, there's something very significant here. Also, the idea, right? Ishus. Right? Those are the cases that are Kone Miktsatsa. Is that true about all Kinyanim or not? So I think, right? One way to deal with this Yerushalmi, right? It's giving us three very different models, let's say, of Kinyan. One of Shlipas Hanal, which is like, you know, the potentially like the classic Gemiras Das model, the Ktsatsa, which seems to be this right social construct, you know, you're announcing it to society, and by announcing it to society, you're, you know, creating ownership just because now everyone knows that you said you're going to do this. And the third, it was like, you know, the classic formal Maisa Kinyan, but it's a history lesson. It's not going through three options. Unless the answer is, said, right? You could say what? They all work, right? But then maybe they all work for the three different reasons that we mentioned, right? There's maybe they're formal masa kinyanim, they're gemuras das kinyanim, and then right, maybe they're also kinyanim, which are about right what you do klape the tzibor, right? So the Yerushalmi definitely sounds like the key, though, and this is getting back to like the Chazon Ish and the Rambam for a moment. And for the Rambam, the Mechayiv, the core, where everything comes from is, you know, is there's the Maaseh Kinyan. For the Chazon Ish, it's the, you know, it's about what creates Gemiras Das. For the Yerushalmi, the key is what is the minhag of the tzibur, right? What's appropriate as a Kinyan, what the key of the Kinyan seems to be what the tzibur does, right? But these three options are very different in terms of what you're trying to accomplish, right? What kinyan you use depends on the tzibur, right? What is a kinyan? It's what the tzibur says is a kinyan. But also, right, what affects a kinyan is either the shlipas hanal or the konim b'ktzatza or the kasher sharan chazak. So Yishami is just really providing like just a wealth of, you know, of material to think about. We're going to get back to Yerushalmi again in a minute. I'm just going to pull out a few more makoros to like help us think about the Yerushalmi more. Right? Let me do that. Okay, where do we learn kinyanim from? So again, just to sharpen it, the Yerushalmi again says said where, right? From the minhag of the tzibur. What people do is what determines what kinyan you should be doing. Right? The tzibur decides what can you do. But Rishona hayu konim bishli pasana. Chazru lios konim b'ksasa. Chazru lios konim ketzav shtal v'chazak. Right? And that's what determines what kinyanim are. The Rambam says, right, what? Hametza amesh mem hei, hi hatorah shehorenu bedin mekach umemkar, rota lomar hapanim asher bam yitkayim hamecher, bin hamocher v'akonim. So the Rambam says there's a mitzvah of kinyanim. Davar hanek mi'alad, mishicha, okay, maus konos, mishicha v'metalplin, it's a compound. Right, but the Rambam says there's a mitzvah that tells you, v'kone v'kinyanim, and these are the kinyanim. Right, so the Rambam says, where do we know kinyanim from, and what kinyanim you should use? Right, it's a mitzvah, the Torah tells you how to do it. Right, the Yerushalmi says it depends on the minhag olam. Right? Okay. Now, kinyan kasef b'karka. So, right, the Bavli, though, says what? Right? Nechaz b'jish ha-machra is karka. His name is kasef v'shara b'chazaka. B'kasef b'nalan, amr chizki ha-machra. Kisados b'kasef yiknu. Right? V'ema adi ika shtar. Tzeh v'katov b'sefer v'chatum. Iksiv yiknu lebasov kidamar sash iksiv yiknu meikara kasef kan yishda raya b'almahu. And we saw that also in Yerushalmi. Amarav lo shanu el makom she'in kots v'nes ashtar. Av makom she'kots v'nes ashtar lo kana v'yiparish parish. Okay, now here is, I think it's, you know, something a little bit telling, is that, right, sados are kona b'kasef, okay? Right? Oh, maybe you should have to have a shtar. And the answer is no, right? You know, sadas because of yeknu. But if you're going to write a shtar, then you're not kone when you give the money. And that sort of jumps out at me, okay? Keep that in mind. Because when it comes to metalpilin, and the Gemara says what? Gemara says, differently. Ketzai, Masha Chemenu Peros, Velo Nasan Lo Maus, Inu Yachal Achsebo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Davar Torah Maus Konus. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan says, Mido Reisa, Maus Arkonus. Giving the money is, you know, is, it affects the purchase. Uvipne Ma Amru Mashicha Kone, Gzeira Sham Yomar Lo Nesfu Chitacha Ba'aliyah. Okay? We're afraid that the produce will get destroyed before he actually gains possession of it. So if we keep it in possession of the seller is going to have interest in protecting it. Okay? Reish Lakish Amar, Mashiach Mifurashas Minatorah. He says, what are you talking about? The real Kenyan in the Torah is Mashiach. My time at Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, Bitim Keru Mem Karla Mitecha, O Kanam Yara Mitecha, Davar Hanikne Miyad Liyad. Reish Lakish says, no, the real Kenyan for Metaltolin is Mashiach. It's handing it over. Why? Because they're metaphlin, and a sale is what? Right? Kanami yada midafi. You're buying something from the hand of your friend, right? Dabar haniknim yad liyad. It's something that's right, transferred from one hand to another. So the shita of Rabbi Yochanan is a maos arkonos, right? The shita of Reish Lakish is that they're not. Okay? Right. So what's Rabbi Yochanan going to say? Reish Lakish, what does Reish Lakish think, first of all? Reish Lakish is easier to explain. For two reasons. One is that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't tell us why he thinks Dabar Torah Maos Konos, right? He just says it. He doesn't give a reason. Reish Lakish gives you a reason. And number two, Reish Lakish's reason, I think, is also reflected in, you know, in our rule of thumb about the Nimamanus. Possession in general is 9/10 of the law, right? And in Sezer Shlakish, in Kinyanim, possession is 10/10 of the law, right? What is ownership? Ownership is the fact that you have legal rights to it and you have control over it. Right? You could do stuff with it. You have it. Right? What does it mean to own it? It's in your rishus, right? It's in your legal domain. If it's physically in your domain, right, then that's definitely, you know, two steps up. Over the question of like, oh, legally has a transfer domain. What do you mean? It literally has transfer domain. I literally have it in my pocket, right? So if you say possession is, right, kind of the essence of owning a possession, right, possessions are to be possessed, then Reish Lakish says, right, what really matters is having possession of it, right? Why wouldn't, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? The return of Maos Konos. Now, so far I would say, okay, Rabbi Yochanan saying what? Why would you assume that Maos are konos?
Because it represents Gemirat Das.
Okay, right. So I think that's either because it represents Gemirat Das or because that's the formal, you know, that's like the, you know, almost like a legal action, right? Why the advantage of Maos potentially is that Maos are, you know, sort of more abstract than the actual object, right? So the transfer of Maos might be actually, you know, be a better reflection of the abstract transfer of ownership. What's the problem though? Why shouldn't Mashiach work? Or according to Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish says, oh, you know, Mashiach is great because it actually is the transfer. Most is just you owe the guy money, right? Well, our problem is that, especially for Reish Lakish, or what we want to say for Reish Lakish, is that there's a rule in the Gemara and Bechoros that we say, Davar Torah, right? Kana miyad amitecha, amitecha be'ex, obi kochavim be'y. Okay? Meaning, and therefore what? If a Mimar says that Ovid Kochavim are kone with Mashiach, then it means that he thinks like Rabbi Yochanan that Jews are kone b'maos. Okay? Whatever you think works for Jews, the opposite is true by Goyim. Now, that means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said axiomatically, oh, Davar Torah are maos konos, he also thinks, oh, but by Goyim, daf Mashiach. Right? Number one. Number two is how do you transfer ownership of a matana? Let's say you're giving someone a gift. There's no maos. There's only Mashiach. You only hand it over. Right? So the problem in it and then becomes is that whatever we think, first of all, we have to acknowledge sort of the, you know, the relevance of Mashiach, But according to Reish Lakish, who we wanted to say, says, oh, you know, possession is all that really matters. He says that for Gayim, Dafka Malos are Konis. Right? It's a problem. Now, another point that I want to make is that we said over here by Kinyan Karka, right? B'makam shekotz min shtar lo kan. But if you're writing a shtar, then you're not koning until you write the shtar. Okay? So I think what we have to say, right, just like we're kind of seeing a little bit in like a weird parallel way by Meshicha and Kesef, by Jews and Goyim, right? There are two elements here which are relevant. There's Mos and Meshicha, or here there's Kesef and Shtar. Right? And the question kind of becomes, which one should be dominant? You really kind of need both. Both are definitely, you know, necessary almost, right? The Meir says, you know, Afal Pisha Tiknu Shamos Inan Konos Mikomagom HaMashicha Levada Konen V'in Tzricha LeMosha HaMashicha Mithureshes Yimei HaTorah. Right? He says, oh, you know, wait a second. If we're attacking that most are not Konen, even though it's Doraisa, so the Mashicha alone is Konen. That word of Levada, right, says what? So really both of these are part of the kingdom. Right? The question is, which is Koveya? Which determines? Right? And so the Takana of Maos, you know, of the you need to do Mashicha, says that Mashicha Levada Konen, even without the Maos. Right? But what's, So what, you know, what role does the most play that then says, oh, really you need both, right? Or really each one is relevant. And the question then becomes, is like, which one's Koven? Right? I think it's a bit of a conundrum. Okay. One second. Okay, fine. Before we get to there, I don't know if we'll actually get the chance to get to that Tosos yet. So what have we seen? What have we seen so far? Okay, in terms of our overall, you know, approach to Kinyan, right? We're seeing that, you know, on the one hand, is it about the Maisa? And is that Maisa a mitzvah that we learn from the Torah? The Torah says, yeah, here's how you're supposed to be Koneh, and there's a Maisa Kinyan. Right, and that's sort of, you know, just like there's this point that's this action that determines. Is it about the das of the people involved? Right. Problem with that again is if you say that it's about like, oh, you know, here, sadus bekatsa piknu, but not if you're going to write a shtar. So I think that works nicely if you say that you were dealing with Mir's das potentially. You say, oh, why? Why does that make sense? How can I explain that? How can I explain that if you're Kona Bekesef and you're just doing Kesef, so then the Karka is nicknames Bekesef, but if you're going to be writing a Shtar, so then you're not Kona until you write the Shtar. But what's good Maisa Kinyan? Yeah, Rachel.
Because the Shtar is like a better Gemiras Das.
Very good, right? People will have Gemiras Das.
That would be true by all Kinyanim.
Yeah, but you're not necessarily going to do it. Right? Meaning the fact that there's somewhere elsewhere, you know, far, far away, there's a better way to do it, doesn't change things necessarily. What does matter to me is if I'm planning on doing it in 5 minutes, right?
A good example. What if I'm planning to buy your shoe and I plan on buying it with and I give you money, but I'm planning on running a shtar?
Well, you can't buy a shoe with the shtar. But I'm saying, let's say you, and think of it, right? Let's say you plan on buying my car, right? And we're going to actually sign over ownership. There's like the deed for the house. Let's say I pay you a down payment for the house, but I didn't sign over the deed. Have I actually transferred ownership of the house?
Yeah, but that's Karka again. I'm not talking about Karka. We're talking about
I'm saying, why does that make sense? All right, so one good answer for that is to say, at the end of the day, if I know that there's a deed and we haven't signed the deed yet, that's a chisaron. I'm like, miras das. I gave you the money, but I didn't sign the deed. And I know that we're going to do the deed, right? We're going to sign it. We're going to hand over the deed. You're going to sign it over to me. That is, you know, that is clearly the key part of the whole transfer of ownership, right? So if it's not that it in and of itself would be insufficient, it's that it's no longer the capstone of this interaction, right? What that's doing is that's sort of moving us from, you know, oh, did you do a Maisa Kinyan, did you not do the Maisa Kinyan, to the question of, you know, did you do the Maisa Kinyan, right? Also, when it comes to Ma'os and Mishicha, which we seem to think, right, fundamentally, there's no reason why they couldn't be Maisa Kinyan. Question is, in relationship to each other, what does each one accomplish, right? You know, Tiknu Shehamos Inan Konos Mikomakom Mashicha Levada is Kone. Right? Otherwise, you know, Maos and Mashicha would be Kone. Right? And you don't need Maos because Mashicha is Mefurash Ba Minatora. Even though he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rish Lakish. Because even Rabbi Yochanan acknowledges that Mashicha is, you know, should be meaningful or could be meaningful in the absence of Maos. The question is, which one's Koveh? Right? So what are you doing by Maos, you know, versus Mashiach? So one option is to say that, you know, that the Maos are the value, the transfer of a value. To argue that it's a transfer of value, but that's meaningful because of Chalipin, let's say, would be very difficult. Why? Because how does Chalipin work? How do you quantify Chalipin? Mashicha, right? You do Mashicha on one of the animals and then the other one switches. Right? So the quid pro quo, let's say, of barter would dictate that either Mashicha or Maos would work. Either one, whichever you did first, right? Not one as opposed to the other. So it's hard to argue that the Maos here are serving the role of simply like a Mashicha, a Chalipin sort of, you know, sort of like a placeholder, right? Now, the other thing I want to bring up is the question of Karka and Metaltalin. Right, as we've seen a few times, the karka, you know, let's say like tzatza, it's only talking about karka. It didn't sound like it, right? We'd do that by metaltalin or work by metaltalin, right? So is kinyan karka really the same as kinyan metaltalin? Right, obviously, for Reish Lakish, they're different because Reish Lakish says mashicha, you can't do mashicha on karka, right? So is there like a hierarchy or, you know, or no, maybe, right? There's just like there's a hierarchy by, you know, by Kesef, by Metaltalin, maybe similarly you have, you know, different options within Karka. It's a Kesef Shachazaka, right? Just by Karka, you know, there's no, you know, any of them work. So it's Metaltalin, only like the most prominent. Right. These are sort of problems that are you know, sitting on our doorstep. I think, right, definitely our easiest way to explain the, you know, the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is the idea that, you know, Maos, right, as an abstract representation of value, right, would actually represent the Maisa, the idea of a Maisa Kinyan, better than the Mashicha. And the reason why is because by Mashicha, what presents that the object is now in your domain, right? It means that you have control. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have title. Right? You might have possession of the object, but you don't necessarily have title to the object. You don't necessarily own it. Right? What shows that you own it is the trans is the giving over of Maos. Okay, but what that does again is it changes Maos from something of you know the, that's useful into something that is you know an abstract representation of legality. Okay, just an interesting point. Chalipin cannot be done with Maos. If you're trying to do a kinyan chalipin, you can use a kli, but you can't use Maos. Right? Now, if you just think that Maos are a more abstract version of kli, of hana, of usefulness, then it's harder to explain why you can't do chalipin with kesef. If you think the idea of kesef is that once it becomes kesef, it's now more of a legal entity than it is something of you know of hana, right? Then buying something, even if you do right, we saw these rishonim that by kiddushin you could do the same exact thing, but if you use different language of chalipin versus language of kesef, you know it changes the way whether it's chal. Right? So I think the idea is that once you use the language of kesef, you're no longer referencing the object or the entity what you're actually handing over as much as right the abstract legal value or not even value anymore. Legal rights that they represent. So, when it comes to you know the question of like, okay, well, where do we know kinyan kesef by metalplan from then? Right by karka, it's like I say, oh well, you know kesef shar chazaka are all good ways of you know doing a ma'ase kinyan because they all show that you're transferring ownership, right? But according to Reish Lakish, you have a pasuk and you have logic that tells me that possession matter. Right? Why should kesef be the koneh? So Tosos says, oh, where did Rabbi Yochanan get it? First of all, he says, oh, Rabbi Yochanan can't say you need both because, or either. The tardi lo matzi the mikne behedyot. He says, you know, it's got to be, you know, one or the other. Odenfarishri, Hainu time in the most kono stavra Torah, the stam kinyan dekra bekesef man. Like stam kinyan in the Torah is always referencing something that you're buying with kesef. Okay, mikomakom stam kinyan de b'chol duchten heavy bekesef. He says, in general, what do? In general, whenever the Torah references a field being sold, it's being done bekesef. What's our problem with that? What's the logic of Rabbi Yochanan? Or not that's a problem, but I mean we have an answer already that we've talked about. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that you know Maos Konos as opposed to Mashiach. Why? Even though Mashiach is in the pasuk, because what? The stam kinyan in the Torah is always being done b'kasef, right? Kedash Mocham Dachti kinyan b'kasef Ocha b'kasef Tashbireini. Sadas b'kasef yeknu. Avagav diksev sefer amakne dinafkala mehasam kinyan shtam. Stam kinyan b'chol duchen nevi kasef. Right? Altonu v'emkar v'amocher v'amocher. It's always talking about people buying or selling things for money. So what? What's the problem with Tosos? Many problems. Not like problems, but like kashas. Not kashas, shilas. Not kashas. When you sell something, right, and you're being kone b'shtak, or you're kone, let's say it's metaltlan, you're being kone b'mishicha, or hagba, or what, who knows what, right? Do you have to pay? If you go to the makolet, and you're being kone b'mishicha, do you still have to pay them? Yeah, right? You still have to pay them. So why is it that Tosos thinks that Rabbi Yochanan learns out Maos Konos for Torah from the fact that in the Pesukim, it's always referencing people using money to buying things and paying money. Isn't that obvious that you have to pay money? Right? It doesn't mean that that's how you do the Kinyan happens. What's the logic behind Tosfos? Why Maos Konos by Metaltolin? I think the answer is because that's what people do, right? When people buy things, they give money. So if you buy things for money, So when you give the money, right, that shows that you bought it. That's koveh, that you bought it because you gave money, right? If I borrow your object, I didn't buy it. But if I give you money, then I bought it. So the koveya is the market. It's the tzibor, right? Just like the Yerushalmi, the idea is that what really matters is what people do. And the Torah keeps saying that people are buy things for money, right? People pay money for this, which is true, right? Okay, people pay money for it. Oh, you see that giving money is the way that you buy things. Now, what's a problem again with this? Right, just like we were bothered by Ktsatsa, this is like almost, you know, same idea as by Ktsatsa, but this is obviously just the whole approach of the Shaman that Kinyanim come from what people do, which is how can we get Kiddushei Kesef out of this, right? How can Kiddushei Kesef be modeled off of Kinyan Kesef if the Kinyan Kesef of Maos Konos, by Metaltlin, is just learned out from the minug of the marketplace, right? Of what people do is, you know, you buy with money. That's just how it's done, right? Now, the Rif, quoted in the Ramban, gives a different explanation for where the Rabbi Yochanan got Maos Konos. He says, oh, Gufo Kone B'Kesef, Mamono Lo Kol Shekein, right? As well, right, if the Beis Din, right, will sell an Eved Ivri, you know, with money, and that's how the Adon is Kone the Eved Ivri. So then obviously, if you could be bought with Kesef, so your Nechasim should also be able to be bought with Kesef. Okay, now, as a side point, the fact that a Kenyan works by one thing doesn't mean it should work for other things. So it's a little bit schwer. Number two is that Eved Ivri, right, the level of your ownership of an Eved Ivri is very tenuous, right? It's very complicated what, you know, how much you really own an Eved Ivri. You don't really, right? He still has his own assets and he still has his own. It's very, very, you know, tricky to really try to pin down, like, what you really own in the Eved Ivri. Eved Kenani, you own, right? Eved Ivri, you don't really. So the idea that you can make such a kal v'chomer is not so pasha. Right? What it does, why would it make sense? Why would that be a reasonable kal v'chomer? How does it view kinyanim? So I would say that the kal v'chomer from Eved Ivri says what? If I could create obligations on you, right, and demands on you, and legal, right, a legal relationship between you, two parties, in order in terms of Eved Ivri, so then I can also create this an obligation on you to transfer ownership, right? If it can create the legal bonds between people that would make him an Eved Ivri and be Konehim, right, which creates all these chiyuvim on him, so then same thing, I can do that to, right, obligate the transfer of ownership. To create the transfer of ownership. Okay, so Toso said it's kastam kinyan is bekesef. That doesn't explain why the pu'ula kalkali, the minug of the shuk, of ownership of you know, of paying for things, would create a model for kiddushin. The Rif is saying basically that what's really behind kinyanim is the creation of, right, legal obligations on someone. So then it makes sense how you can get kiddush kesef out of that. Rashi says, "Davar k'tora ma'os konos tiksev b'podem in a hekdesh v'natana kesef v'kamlo kal v'chomer b'lo keach min a hediot." Right? He says, "Well, how do I know that ma'os konos? Because v'natana kesef v'kamlo. Right? When you're being poded hekdesh, you pay money and then you can take it. Kal v'chomer b'lo keach min a hediot. So if it works for hekdesh, it should work by hediot. Again, why is that a good kal v'chomer? It's not a good kal v'chomer." Again, hekdesh and people are not the same, right? One thing is about transferring, changing, taking away something's kedusha. The other is about changing ownership, right? Who says one works for the other? Right? Unless, again, right, it definitely helps us a lot with kedushin, though, right? And I think Rashi is going to say, right, Shinu Shaykhosu Ma'amad Shel HaDavar. You're changing the identity of the object. It used to be A's object, now it's B's object. Just like, right, we're learning that now from, it used to be Hekdesh, it used to be God's object and sacred, and now it's a regular object, now it's my object. If I can make the transfer of relevance from your object to my object, to God's object to my object, to mundane object, Kal v'chomer, I can make the transfer from your object to my object. What I'm doing is I'm changing the identity of the object, right? If the kinyan is capable of, is about changing the identity, or capable of changing the identity, then by kiddushin, right, the idea that mos can be used in a similar manner, in, right, changing the mechol kodesh, you know, it could also make the, from the, you know, from a regular person to miuchedes and mukudesh asrakli, right? It's not a kinyan mamon. But the idea that there's a, you know, that the same pidyon, just like you can learn that out from pidyon hekdesh, is actually makes, you know, makes sense. Okay. Now I think that we can also use the Yerushalmi to explain Tosfos. Because right? What do we see in the Yerushalmi? We saw also by you know, especially by Ktsatsa, where there was no Maisa Kinyan even, right? Well, with Ktsatsa, Ktsatsa was just the, you know, the fact that Be'enei HaTzibur, this is the Koveya, right? The entire, you announced it to the Tzibur. So potentially, you could be Mechadesh, and I think this is not such a crazy Chiddush, especially since it was, right, the Yerushalmi Dafka had Ktsatsa by Ishas and by Kinyan Stei Achuza, that in certain things, the role of the Tzibur is paramount. Perhaps in Ishas, right, there's actually a role of the community, of the tzibur. Why? Right, if Tosfos is saying, what is Ishas? It's Mikudeshas and Miuchedes Rakli, right? She's Asra Kuleyama Khekdesh and therefore Miuchedesli. And their exclusivity from the rest of the world creates a special union between them. So then, right, the Tafkid of the tzibur in creating Ishas, right, might really be central. Now, just a really just like a parenthetical, that might explain Ede Kiyum. Right? Ede Kiyum or Ede Bekidushin. They might be there to create more Das. It's a classic understanding of Ede Kiyum. But there are Deos who think that they're Ede Biur. They're there to prove that you got married. But if they're only there to prove that you got married, if you got married without them, why aren't you married? They're just there for proof. And the answer could be that if Kiddushin is also partially a social construct, it's or social reality, right? It's not just that between the two of you, you're married. When you get married, you're doing something to the tzibur. So then you can only do it, it's only effective on the tzibur if you can prove it. You're only exclusive if you can prove that you're exclusive. If it can't be proven that you're married to each other and that she's asar kule alma kekdesh and miuchedes miuchedes rak lo, so then, you know, they're not married, not because, you know, the Edim are there for Ede Kiyum, they're there for Ede Birur, but if it's not enforceable, then it's not real, right? If you have a law, but you don't enforce it, it's not really, almost, you know, it's not really a law. In Israel, they have a rule that they can't, like, make a law unless they also identify which governing body is responsible for enforcing it. Because if you have a law, but it's, you know, meant to not be enforced, then it's just not a law. Right? So they're not miuchedes miuchedes rak lo if you can't enforce it. And if they're no edim, you can't enforce it. Okay? So I think that's definitely one way to take this whole sugya is that really the tzibur has an outsized significance. Okay. I think we're going to stop here and continue next time. And I think we'll revisit the Yerushalmi again.